Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. You tune me in by the way of WDLP 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock and we're now streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.FM. You've tuned me in by the way of Ionia, WION 1430 AM or 92.7 FM. Or 100.3 FM over in the Lower Ader area, and you tune me in at 8 o'clock, and I welcome you to our broadcast this morning. Others are tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGOM 106.3 FM, and that broadcast time is 9 o'clock, and we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some of it tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. Others may be listening by the way of my website. My website is pastorkenharger.com. And then scroll your mouse over to where it says messages from the lighthouse. And then if you bring it right up on top of that, it'll show you current media. Then click on current media and takes you to the broadcast today. For today, whatever broadcast, whatever way you tune me in, I'm just glad to have you sharing with me this morning in another broadcast time. As I mentioned last week, we need a few more folks to help us sponsor our program in 2020, but I want to say thank you to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband Spence. That was his nickname. She's from Orleans. To Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area. And to Bill and Judy Hammond family from the Belding area, thank you for your financial support and God's richest blessing be upon you. A thank you to Kay Ann Kingsinger for selecting our music for this week. Kay Ann had surgery. She had a hip replaced this week. She'll probably be home tomorrow, but it's going to be a little time of healing and, you know, the therapy work you got to have and so on. So she's got the messages all ready for me for the month of January. So we're all set to start out, and then by that time, hopefully she's going to be doing so much better. I always like to share an invitation to Shiloh Community Church in what we call the Shiloh campus, Orleans campus. It starts out at Shiloh Saturday evening, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock. And then at 10:45, we have a contemporary service. We now have a campus over in Greenville. It's at the old Calvary Baptist Church. That's on the corner of Luray and Grove Street. And that morning worship service is at 11 o'clock. Give you an invitation to attend any one of those that you so desire. We'll be having a Christmas Eve service at Shiloh at 6 o'clock. And at Greenville at 6 o'clock. So if you'd like to attend the Christmas Eve service, we'd be more than glad to have you be a part of that service as well. Well, I think that takes care of most of those things I need to take care of. So we'll get started for this morning. Our message for this morning is going to be a divine appointment as we meet the Lord Jesus. He is Emmanuel, God with us. I'm thinking of the divine appointment that was there when was a manger scene in a house where the wise men came. And a divine appointment is one that we'll be talking about in just a few moments. But to kind of prepare our hearts and minds for the message we have for this morning, I have a song I want us to listen to, and it's talking about the star that led the wise men, telling us that that star still shines brightly today. And we need to know that's something that is very special for each one of us. And so this song will kind of prepare our minds and hearts for the message time, and as we listen to that, we just want to ask God to speak to us in a very special way. So here we go. You know, a bit of a start coming slowly, but we're going to be here we go. God bless you. Merry Christmas to you.
There was a star in the eastern sky, shone down on Bethlehem. You had recognized the sign, a king was born to them. It drew them to a manger, to a virgin mother's son, who would draw us to salvation, God's gift to everyone. And the star still shines after all this time as a light for me and you. It beckons us to seek him. Wise men still do. Wise men still do. In these crazy troubled times, the world seems so out of tune. Sometimes it's like we're living without a flame to light the room. If you're feeling faithless and you think you've lost your way, oh, there is a hope that's bright enough to turn your night to day. And the star still shines after all this time as a light for me and you. Beckons us to seek him. Wise men still do. Wise men still do. It won't go out after Christmas like a candle in the wind. It's a light that shines forever, not just every now and then. Star still shines after all this time as a light for me and you. It beckons us to seek him. Wise men still do.
Good thought that is, folks. Wise men still seek him today. And that star is still shining bright for you and I. And that's so important for us to know. We're going to have a word of prayer and praying the Lord's blessing to be upon our listening audience this morning. Asking the Lord to bless you with a good Christmas time together this week. Realizing that the next time we come together, it'll be the very last week of the 2019. Been working a little bit on some of the things I need to get set up for 2020. You know, my computer things all changed over for 2020. And the folders in my file cabinet all set up for 2020. Man, isn't that sound different? 2020. What a blessing is going to be to see what God wants to do in this new year. But we got to realize that we're still on Christmas. And we still got a Christmas message this morning. And I just want to pray for you, the listening audience, that God will bless you. So, Father, once again, I come on behalf of the listening audience, asking that your hand of blessing and comfort and strength. Father, when we come to this holiday time, So many ways it's a very joyous time. Other ways there's some sadness and some loneliness. I want to pray this morning for those that have lost a loved one in this last year. And this has been the first Christmas now that they'll be having without that loved one with them. And so I pray your special hand of blessing Just here in December, Father, I've done 6 funerals, so there's 6 families that I know of here just in the month of December that are going to have Christmas without their loved one. So I pray your special blessing to be upon all those that find themselves in that situation today, that you would minister to them with some special comfort. Help them to do only what they feel like doing. Help them to be able to make it through this Christmas holiday without that one that they've known and loved and shared so much of life with. I want to pray for others, Father, because there's a lot of times families aren't doing too well and there's a little friction or some things have happened in the past, and so family members don't always show up for the Christmas holiday. I want to pray for those families that's going through that sadness that there is when the whole family can't be together, and we just ask your special blessing to be upon each family. And then, Father, as we come to you, I want to remember also those that may be in a nursing home or a foster home. Maybe they're in one of the extended cares, other means of caring for the elderly that there is today. I want to pray for those that's not in their own home. They're somewhere else. They're under different circumstances, and I want to pray that you bless them this Christmas season as they're missing their home and the surroundings that they normally have. I want to pray your blessing to be upon those that's going through some financial time or some sick time. Maybe they're going through cancer, or else they've had a surgery and it's through the healing process now. Whatever they might be under the listening audience, dear Father, I pray your hand of blessing would be upon them. Now, would you come and honor your word and share with us the things that is so important to you, Father, about this thing called Christmas? Thank you so much, Father, that you so love this world that you gave us your one and only Son. Thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to leave the heaven and all the glory you had with the Father and become one of us and even be born and laid to rest in a manger. God be with us today, I pray, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. This morning, rather than just a regular message, I got several things I want to share with you this morning, but not so much in a message term, maybe more like just having a chat with you, so to speak, if we were just sitting together and having a conversation. I came across this that I really like. It says, "The Lord Jesus descended down to this earth from heaven that we one day may ascend to heaven. He became poor that we might become rich. He was born that we might be born again, have spiritual life. He became a servant so that you and I can become a son of God. He had no home that we might have a home in heaven." It's just reminding us of some of those things that's so important. What my mind has been going to for this week, and I've never shared this in line with Christmas before, but I just come to the realization when I think about it that Christmas is a divine appointment for us. A divine appointment for us not only to know that baby Jesus was born, but when he was born, it was Emmanuel, which means God with us. It was said when this baby Jesus was born that he was going to save his people from their sins. You know, when I think about a divine appointment, it's been something that has been a part of my life for a long time, you know, and all the years that I made hospital visits and things like that, and sometimes maybe it's a house visit or whatever, and all of a sudden find out that I arrived wherever I was visiting. I arrived just at the exact moment that I needed to be there, to be able to be assistant to someone else. And so I started calling those times divine appointments, realizing that I wasn't in charge. Things had went different that morning. And I realized that, hey, God must have been directing my steps and my mileage and all the rest of it, that I arrived here just at the right time. I remember through the years arriving just as a doctor was telling a patient there was nothing else they could do. I remember arriving at a house where all of a sudden get to the house and find out that the individual had just passed away. I hadn't been called to be there, but I just showed up there. And those were divine appointments. You know what I call it? I call it that God is orchestrating the path of our life in such a way that we can experience those divine appointments. I've never taken that in connection with Christmas. You know what? God the Father orchestrated Christmas. So when I start thinking about the different things that happened, Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men, all of the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning his birth, I think of Herod and what he did, and I think of the census that was sent out. How was Jesus going to be born in Bethlehem when Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth? And all of a sudden, I started thinking, you know what? God orchestrated all of this. Therefore, this Christmas thing is a divine appointment. A divine appointment as we hear the story about all the good that God has done. You know, one of the reasons I like to say that is because there's a Bible verse that I believe has been kind of misused through the years, but you know, when you think about these kinds of things and all working together, in Romans 8:28, he says, "We know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose." Now, when I say that's been misused, sometimes Christian people quote that to other Christians when they're going through a difficult time. And that isn't always the best thing to tell. Maybe it's more needs to be a comfort thing. You know, whenever I think of Romans 8:28, I think of a recipe. I'm doing a lot of the cooking at our house today, and sometimes I don't use a recipe, but sometimes I do. Some of the things that I've done many times, I just know how to go ahead and do it. But you know, the recipe's got some different types of things, ingredients, I'll call them. Different types of ingredients, you know, to make some cookies or to make a cake. And you know, some of it's a pretty good portion of those ingredients, and others of it is just a small amount. Then there's ways to mix it. Then there's ways where you put it about baking it, how long it takes to bake it, and if you should use a cookie sheet or a cake pan or what you can use to do that. Whenever I think of this here, and I do this at Christmas time, I haven't made my mama's cookies yet, but you know, every time I think about this and recipes and things like that, I think about my mom. My mom made the best thin sugar cookie you've ever tasted. And we drank a lot of tea when I was growing up, and you know, that tea and those sugar cookies really went well together. And then sometimes, you know, she would really get them done. They'd be nice and brown. I like things out of the oven nice and brown. And they would be just kind of crunchy. And I really loved them. One time when I was talking to my mom, I said, "Mom, I'd like to have that recipe of your sugar cookies." And she said, "Well, you take a pinch of this and you take a cup of this." She never used a measuring cup or anything. And I said, "Mom, my hands are bigger than your hands. If you do that, I'm going to be in trouble because it isn't going to turn out very good. Would you take the time to just measure it for me?" And you know, I didn't know if she did or not because she had a stroke, but after she passed away, when we was cleaning up in the house, I found the cookie recipe. And on it, she had written for Ken. And you know, every time I make those cookies, I remember my mom. I think that's what Christmas is like. I think Christmas is a divine appointment. It's God putting a recipe together, using many different people, many circumstances surrounding it. And he's mixing it together and going to make it turn out just right. Let me just give you a little bit of that for your idea to think about this idea of the divine appointment. This special time that we call Christmas has to do with God's orchestration or his divine appointment. His son, Jesus, to be born into this world. Do you realize there was 400 years of silence between the last book of the Old Testament and the first book of the New Testament? There was 400 years. That's about five generations of people. That there is no message from heaven. There had always been prophets. There was kings. There was other ways of leadership. But God has been silent for 400 years. And then it's beautifully written in the book of Galatians. It says, and when the fullness of time had come, God was waiting for the fullness of time. God's timing is always just right on. He's never early. He's never late. He's always on time. And then 400 years, and it says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. His son Jesus was born of a woman. She was born under the law. And others of translations will say, at just the right time, this one Jesus was born. And others will say something like the idea that, and finally the time came that when Jesus was to be born. You know, I think that Romans 8:28 is just saying, you know what? That's some of the ingredients. The ingredients was there was some silence for 400 years. But then all of a sudden things are working out in the time frame that God wants. And that God is in charge of. And now we're going to see things begin to happen with the various ingredients that makes up the Christmas story. And the one that I mentioned, you know what God had said some 700 years before Jesus was born? He said this one Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was just a little insignificant city. And Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. But remember I told you Joseph and Mary, they were living in the land of Nazareth or the town of Nazareth. But there was an emperor, a guy that was in charge named Augustus. He ordered a census of the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken, for a long time. All the people went to be registered in their cities where their ancestors had lived. So Joseph went from Nazareth to the city of Galilee to the Judean city called Bethlehem, because he was a descendant of David. And we went to Bethlehem, David, that's where David was from, and so he had to go back there for the census. Joseph went there to register with Mary, the one he was engaged to be married to. And she was pregnant with a child. And he reminds us, they journeyed to Bethlehem. Now, I got to tell you, folks, when I think about the fullness of time has to do with this Mary who's been told that she's, even though she's a virgin, she's going to give birth to a baby. And then babies, you know, all of a sudden there's times when it would be pretty difficult, especially back in those days. Most of their travel they did either was by camel or donkey. And probably Joseph wasn't rich enough to own a donkey, so he probably had a donkey. And they made a journey to Bethlehem because the law has said there needs to be a census taken. But God has said, this baby is going to be born in Bethlehem. God orchestrated even the government of the day to bring about the things that needed to be brought about in order that just one Jesus could be born in Bethlehem. But more than that, that Joseph would be able to leave from where they was in Nazareth and arrive in Bethlehem. It goes on to tell us in the story. You know this story has been so beautiful. But that's not all. Now there's going to be something else. That's going to be another ingredient in this Christmas story. That's going to make everything work out very well. All things according to God's will be fulfilled. There's many things about the birth of Jesus that I love. But I love that Mary and Joseph were taking that long journey that they took from Nazareth to Bethlehem. I especially love Mother Mary for being the one that was carrying the baby Jesus, and now it must be pretty uncomfortable riding on that donkey's back. And all of a sudden, they arrive in Bethlehem. We're here. And all of a sudden, they find out there's no vacancies. There's so many people in town, there's no place for them to stay. Now, you and I have done that in our travel. There's been a lot written to say, well, that was just too bad it happened that way, and God's timing wasn't right, and all of that kind of stuff. I don't believe any of that. I have been traveling from time to time and maybe decide we wanted to stop a little early, and you know what? Find out that there was no vacancy. No vacancy. And they came to the innkeeper, and the innkeeper was saying, no vacancy. There's no room in the inn. I'm sure Joseph looked for a place for Mary and him to stay that night. It was a small town, and it was filled with people. I have no idea how Joseph found out about the stable at the end of the town. Somebody must have just said, well, you need some place to stay. It's not the best place in the world, but there's a stable. The animals keep it pretty warm, not the edge of the town. And so they made their way to the stable. You know what? I think this is something that is very special. Because now we're going to see that God's timing was beautiful. There's no room for Jesus in the inn. And while they were there, the time came for Mary to give birth to Jesus. Can you imagine all of a sudden his labor pains? Maybe they just get into the stable and all of a sudden she's having labor pains. And she gives birth to her firstborn son. And she took him and she wrapped him in swaddling cloth. That was a kind of cloth they used at that time. And they had taken this place and put some straw in the manger. And she laid him in the manger. Because there was no room in the inn. When I think of Jesus being born in a stable and his mother wrapping up the body with the cloth and laying him in a manger, I think it's so special that heaven knew all about that. Remember when the message came from the angels to the shepherds? When they said, fear not, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. I love that. I love that, that heaven knew what was going on. But let me just, before we listen to a song, fast forward in the life of Jesus. When one day he was talking and some people said, I'll follow you, Jesus. I'll follow you. And then Jesus said this, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. As an adult, Jesus had no home. He had no place he could say was his. Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests, but I have nowhere to lay my head. I believe that manger is a beautiful picture of what the life of the Lord Jesus was like on planet Earth. He never had any of the things that you and I oftentimes take for granted. The only thing that makes me want to do is simply say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God the Father, for sending us your son. You know, God did this in order that he might cause us to have a relationship with him that had been broken because of sin. But you know, Joseph played a big part in that. And you know, Joseph must have wondered, why am I? And who am I? You know what I like the Christmas story does for me? God loves to take the insignificant and make it significant. The little town of Bethlehem, a manger at the end of the town, a stable rather, at the end of the town, and inside there a manger that the Lord Jesus was laid to rest in. You know something, folks? Joseph was an insignificant person. And I think he might have asked himself, God, this is such a strange way for you to save the world. Remember, he had been told by the angel that this one Jesus that was going to be born was going to save the world. And now he must be wondering, why me, God? Let's listen in. I'll be right back.
I'm sure it must have been a surprise at where this road had taken them. 'Cause never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come to life. And Joseph said, I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him, with all the rulers in the world? Why here, inside this stable filled with hay? Why her, she's just an ordinary girl. Second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. To think of how it could have been if he had come as he deserved. There would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him, with all the rulers in the world? And why here, inside this stable filled with hay? Why her, she's just an ordinary girl. And now I'm not a second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. Oh, 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 oh. And now I'm not a one to say. Such a strange way to save the world. This is such a strange way, such a strange way strange way to save the world. Oh, 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 oh.
You know, folks, we might even think like what he's thinking. Such a strange way to save the world. But God had a plan. And God had a purpose. And God was orchestrating his plan to fulfill his purpose. He was using some different ingredients. So far, we've throughout this stories, we have looked at Joseph and Mary, the little town of Bethlehem. Ah, we looked at the shepherds too. Let's revisit the shepherds for just a few moments. Remember what the message was to them? The message that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You know, the idea was not only unto them, for because the angel also said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." It'll be for everyone. Now God's going to use the ingredients of the shepherds. After they heard the message from the angels, they decided to go check it out for themselves. And when they came into the stable area, there was Mary, there was Joseph, and there was the baby Jesus. And guess what, folks? Just like the angel had said, he was wrapped with swaddling cloth, and he was laying in a manger. You know what those shepherds did after that? They left, and everybody in town, they said, "Do you know the baby Jesus is born? He's the one that God had promised. He's at the edge of the town. He's been a stable. He's laying in a manger." And everybody had heard them saying this, and the angel said to us, "Fear not. This is good news for everyone. For all people to hear, for everybody to know and to experience." And the shepherds kept telling them. Everybody they met as they was leaving town, they kept saying, "You need to go check it out. This baby Jesus." And you know what? All that heard them wondered at what the shepherds said. You know what? We don't have any place recorded in the Bible where anybody went to check it out. That's why I like the song Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright. You know what? A beautiful thing happened that evening, and nobody recognized it. Only those that God had used in the ingredients in making his recipe be fulfilled. That's divine appointment. But it's for everyone. It's not just for a few. You know, if I fast forward in the birth of Jesus to the book of John, you know, John never mentioned anything about the manger. He didn't mention anything about the wise men. He didn't mention anything about the message to Mary or the message to Joseph. That's found in the other Gospels. But in the Gospel of John, he mentions something else that is a part of Christmas. You know what he said? There's a light been born into the world. There's a light that come into the world. You know, when I think about Christmas, I love the lights. We have our manger scene up in our side yard. I have a wagon that sits in our side yard, and I made a little manger thing that I put up each December to set on the wagon. I need to quickly tell you this story because we've been doing it for 45 years. We were doing day camp out to the campground with the little kids, and at that time, when it got all done, we loaded up the bus and took about 70 to 100 kids, and we headed to Deer Park for a day. And my wife said, you know, I don't really want to ride on the buses. Another lady that she's got a van and she's going to drive. I would just as soon ride along with her. And so they did. And you know what I believe with all my heart? I believe that was a divine appointment for my wife. They followed along the bus, and all of a sudden I noticed it wasn't right behind me as it had been. You know what she saw? She saw a yard sale. And the two ladies stopped at a yard sale. And in that yard sale, they had a manger scene they were selling. My wife said it cost $15, and she had 10. She had to get the 5 from the other lady. And they picked up Mary and Joseph and a shepherd, couple shepherds and a wise man. And they loaded all of that in the van, and they brought it home. And now for 45 years, we put that manger scene up in our yard. When I came over here today, it's all lit up beautifully. I have a star that is at the top of the manger scene. Over on the side where we have a swing, I have a cross hanging. A lit up cross that reminds us he went from the wood of the stable to the wood of the cross. And there he gave his life for each one of us. You know what God's reminding us, what I'm doing right now, is what God tells us Christmas is. We're supposed to share with others what this idea of Jesus means to us and why we find him to be the light of the world. Let me just give you some more of what I said there in the Gospel of John. Jesus just talks about he's the light. And it talks about this is the light that shines on every person that is ever born into this world. God wants us to know that Jesus came for light in our darkness. The darkness of my life and the darkness of your life, he said, is made bright by the life of the Lord Jesus. Then you know what? If you fast forward in Jesus' life again, one day Jesus said this, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And then sometime later he said this in his Sermon on the Mount. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know what Jesus is saying? I'm the light of the world. And your little lights just shine for me. In other words, he's saying, you let others know through your life, through your thoughts, through the things that you say. Just like the shepherds did. Now, there are going to be people who don't understand what in the world you're talking about. But listen, we're to share the message. This message of Christmas was given for us to be able to share. The shepherds did a beautiful job, even though I didn't find any place where anybody went and checked it out. Yet at the same time, God wants us to do the same. There's a beautiful portion of scripture that I like in the 2 Corinthians chapter 5:18. Listen to what this says. I love this translation. God has done all this orchestration that he did, all that he did to bring his son Jesus into the world. God has done all of this. You know why he did it? He has restored our relationship with him through Christ. God did all of this stuff to restore our relationship with God. And he used Jesus Christ to do it. It's like God's son, Jesus, took the hand of God. And he took the hand of man and he brought us together. There's a Bible verse that I really love that says that. There's one God and there's one mediator between God and man. And he's the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus did that for us. But But listen, that's not all of it. He goes on to say, you know what? If you believe this, that God has restored your relationship with him and his relationship with you, then you know what? God wants to give you a ministry. He wants you to help restore relationships. Isn't that beautiful? God said, I'm doing this in your life so you can help others. Restore relationship. God doesn't want to have a broken relationship between mankind and him. So he sent us his son, Jesus. And now he's saying, you know what? I also send you to help mend some relationships in people's lives. Because that's what God wants to happen in your life and in my life. Well, as I wrap up Christmas 2019, there's still a couple more things I'd like to share about why I believe this divine appointment took place. There's a couple things that are part of the Christmas story and that are really a big part of your relationship with God and my relationship with God. You know those wise men that came such a long distance? They'd been following a star for a long time. I don't know how long they'd been traveling. But they came to Jerusalem because they thought that would be the religious city. This one that they think is born is the king. And so they come to Jerusalem and they ask, where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? Now, I don't know how they figured that out, but that's a part of God's orchestration. These men became a part of the ingredients God was using. We saw his star when it arose, and we have come to worship him. I love that. Christmas is about worshiping Jesus. I need to say this today. I don't worship the manger. I worship the baby that laid in the manger. Hey, dear people, listen carefully. I don't worship the cross of Calvary. I worship the Jesus that hung on that cross. We've come to worship him. They come to worship a baby. And you know, I'm not going to into all that story. I just want you to know that when they found out where it was and they saw that star, they followed that star again. And you know what? That star led them to the house where baby Jesus was. He was now about 2 years old. And they went in and it says, these grown, educated men bowed down and worshiped that little child. And not only that, they presented him gifts, valuable gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God, they returned another way and did not tell King Herod where Jesus was. They come to worship him. But they followed him. They followed that star to where he was so they could worship him. You know, if I fast forward in Jesus' life, I don't know how many times it's in the scripture that Jesus is telling us to do what the wise men did of old on that first Christmas, that first message of Christmas. They followed the star. When this baby Jesus grew, and he started his ministry. He said one day to some men that were fishermen, follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. He found some other people, and he'd say, follow me. He saw Matthew, who was a tax collector. And he said, Matthew, follow me. And he rose up, and he followed Jesus. The fishermen rose up and they followed Jesus. You know, he goes on to tell us the idea that You and I need to know that Jesus is looking for those who will follow him today. I love it till one day in Jesus' teaching, there was a man that he said, something's lacking in my life. And that man was a rich man, and riches had control of his life. And Jesus said, you know what you need to do? Go sell all of your riches and give it to the poor. And come and follow me, and you will have treasures in heaven. By the way, folks, for my last thought was the idea that worship is a part of Christmas. Following Jesus is a part of Christmas. It's a part of the message that God has for each one of us, and he wants us to obey that. But you know, I need to end with this thought. That'll only happen if you make room for Jesus in your life. Don't let it be repeated again as it was in the history when Jesus was born. There was no room for him in the inn. As we close out this year and begin another year, I'd like to challenge you. Make sure in this new year, as you go through your life and your life becomes what it's going to be in 2020, make sure you've got room for Jesus. Make room in your life for Jesus. Make that your idea for Christmas this year. I'm going to make sure 2020, I have room in my life for the Lord Jesus. God bless you. Merry Christmas to you. And I love every one of you. God be with you.
The first day in this world, and no one seemed to care. Too busy with their own lives to know the child was there. No time to help his mother, just a stable and a floor. I wonder if he ever knocked again upon their door. No room in the inn. There was no place in their hearts that Christmas night. The world slept in darkness as a promise of God lay beneath a star so bright. Shepherd and wise men came his way. Wise men, they seek him still today. Oh, I wonder, my friend, when he comes again, will there be room in the inn? Some men chose to follow, and others they ignored. The signs that were pointing to the blessed baby Lord. And though the years have quickly passed, have we really changed? Have you given room to him in your life? Does he have a place to stay? In their hearts that Christmas night, the world slept in darkness as a promise of God lay beneath the stars so bright. Shepherd and wise men came his way. Wise men, they seek him still today. Oh, I wonder, my friend, when he comes again, will there be room? It will lead you to the place where those who build his temple will one day see his face. No room in the inn. There was no place in their hearts that Christmas night. The world slept in darkness as the promise of God lay beneath the stars so bright. The shepherd and wise men came his way. Wise men, they seek him still today. Oh, I wonder, my friend, when he comes again, will there be room?